dropped off my son for the last time at preschool today.
Aww.
Yeah. I had my own. He did not care, but I had my own little moment.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. He was unfazed.
My daughter's at her first funeral today.
Wow. All sorts of firsts and lasts. Yeah. Death and resurrection happening right here in the podcast studio.
What about the resurrection?
Well, I mean, I'm starting something new. You're starting something
new. What are you starting? William's starting something new.
And in several months.
Yeah. Soon.
Whatever.
Death and on the death. Third month.
That's how the story goes. Right. 3 months later.
Jesus.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we explore how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Patrick Bowser.
How are you, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
So we got a new pope.
Yeah.
New pope.
American pope.
A new pope. Star Wars. A new pope.
Episode 4.
Yeah.
This is not episode 4 of popes.
No, this is not.
No.
What number pope is he?
A lot. Pope a lot.
200.
He's Leo the 14th, so there's been at least 14 other, or 13 other
273
Leos.
Or something like that? That's no probably idea. Way off, but that's my best.
But yes.
Yes.
I mean, 2,000 years of popes.
American Pope.
American. Chicagoan.
USA.
That's right.
USA.
America.
I feel like we won the Olympics.
Yeah. The Pope.
Yeah. I would definitely say if I'm a Pope and I'm choosing my name, I'm not going to be the 14th. I'm going to be
the first.
Yeah. Number one.
Yeah. Number one.
What can
one.
We go for?
Yeah. I don't give me a list of names that nobody else has chosen.
That's right.
And I'm choosing one of them.
Yep. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do we think? Do you like Pope Leo?
I know very little about him. So
me too.
We will see.
Almost nothing.
I know he is born in Chicago.
Yeah.
And lived in Peru for a long time and has Peruvian citizenship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what
I know.
That some Americans were super mad that his first address was in Spanish.
Yep.
That's like, we got an American Pope, but he's speaking Spanish. Come on, people.
Oh, no.
That does sound like us. That
it
sounds like
it?
Something
yeah.
we'd be angry about.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a really good friend that's Catholic, and we were kind of just for fun, kind of following the conclave process together.
Sure. Turns
is
out
this
your friend that you went to talk to about the Olympics?
Yes.
Business?
Yeah. Yes.
This was
so
fast. It was
like,
a fast conclave.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was 2 days.
She's my Catholic source. So, like, I got surprisingly very into the the process of the Pope election,
sure.
which is, if you've been listening to our podcast, I knew like nothing about the Pope a few weeks ago. So that was a fun turn of events for me. But I know maybe like a little bit about him. He is an Augustinian friar.
Okay.
Right?
That was the same thing Martin Luther was.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes. So
that's
I
a good
remember
sign.
That tidbit as
not
well.
Pope Francis.
Maybe
he was a Jesuit.
Maybe this guy's going to like turn the whole Catholic Church Lutheran.
Ooh.
It's like a covert Lutheran.
I'm sure he is.
All right. That's it. That's the ploy.
We got him.
He's been undercover this whole time.
Yeah. I think kind of styles himself after Pope Francis a little bit, right?
Like all
right. More of like, we shouldn't live like kings. We should be amongst the people type thing. So,
I'm
I don't know.
For that. Yeah. That sounds like
sounds
a good thing.
Sounds promising, I guess. I'm not Catholic, so.
From my briefest of researches, he is not the most conservative of the options that we're going to be up there.
Yeah.
And he's probably not the most liberal of the options. He's
right.
A
sounds
little more.
Middle of the road, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. And he speaks Spanish.
He does.
He speaks Spanish.
And Italian.
Evidently for Americans is a deal breaker.
Right. We're like,
You know what? Americans will look for just about anything to be a deal breaker these days.
It's true.
Yeah. So we have now a Chicago Pope.
Yeah.
So that one's served with peppers and like onions.
Exactly.
Yes. Yep. Deep dish.
Mm-hmm.
Deep dish. Deep
that's a hot dog. Yeah. The Chicago dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. A deep dish Pope. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on board.
There was the huge faux pas that they accused him of being a Cubs fan, and he is a lifelong White Sox fan.
Oops.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was way to blow the coverage on that one, media.
Yeah. So he has like a White Sox hat, like Dr. Dre.
I assume so. Yeah. Yeah. On his miters, has the White Sox symbol. Yeah.
There's a very cute interview with his brother. I don't know if you've seen it or
not. I have not.
But his brother was like, I texted him before he went into the conclave and was like, did you remember your Red Sox? I don't know. It's just cute to go with his Pope thing.
No, sure.
I don't know.
All right. There you go. New Pope.
I'm going to start texting that to both of you at random
did
intervals.
You
did
red
you remember
Sox?
Your Red Sox?
I'm going to be like, what do I need Red Sox?
The anxiety's just going
to shoot
through
the roof. I don't
even
have Red Sox.
So I don't, your alarms on your phone, you can put a little notification in with them so it tells you what the alarm is for. And I'm very,
very
bad
helpful.
About setting them and then never changing them, but just reusing that alarm. And
love
so
that.
I'll have alarms that are like, soup, that go off at 7 o'clock in the morning. But I have one.
The worst alarm.
Like,
at 7 in the morning and it's for soup.
Right. One time I had to send you something for council and I have that same memo on an alarm.
That.
And so every so often it's like, send David meditation for council. And I'm like, what?
Why am I supposed to? I'm not on council anymore.
All right, let's get to our news story.
Okay.
From Yahoo Life.
Pope,
Yahoo
the Pope
Life.
Wasn't our news? Yeah. Yahoo's still around?
Yeah, speaking of boomers.
Yeah, speaking of boomers. This is actually about boomers. All right. Do you want to age with some greater levels of healthy living?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, what do I have to give up to do that?
That's a fair question. But yeah. I mean, ideally, I would like to do that. I'm not saying I'm going to, but I would like to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, according to Yahoo Life, the physicians are saying there's a new thing that you can do to age healthier.
Okay. If it involves eating or not eating something, I'm probably out.
Yeah. It involves farting.
Oh, I do that.
Yeah.
What's the parameter?
Mission accomplished.
I've never done that.
Farting on the street following a meal can improve long-term health.
Why on the street?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Yeah.
I guess it's, you know, a faux pas in the restaurant.
Sure.
Walking back to the car. This is doing some crop dusting.
Yeah.
Can improve your gastrointestinal health.
I mean, you don't want to hold it in,
so you're
right?
Clearing it out.
It's,
yeah.
Like, it's a Shrek motto.
You're clearing it out. Yeah, he said, the doctor, Tim Tootin.
Of course it is.
He was born for this.
Yes. Totally supports fart walks.
Fart walks.
Is this real?
Fart healthy walking.
Is Tim Tudor, is he really a doctor?
This is Yahoo News, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I can tell you my two-year-old is in the process of potty training.
Uh-huh.
And so he is constantly telling us he pooped, yep. Which means he farted.
It's hard to learn the difference.
It can still be hard.
I was gonna say,
adult,
38
like,
years later, I'm like, wait.
No, yeah,
okay,
yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Okay,
you don't want to be in a situation like, what is gonna about to happen?
Yeah.
I'm unsure.
That's right. In the event of of lack of clarity, always aim for the bathroom.
Right.
That's, yeah.
My friend's two-year-old is potty training, and the other day he said, "Hey, who pooped in my underwear?"
That would be you. Yeah.
Pretty sure that was you.
Yeah. So this is like farting while walking. That's what you want to
okay.
do. Okay. Not just like you want to sit and fart.
Sure. You want to exercise out the fart.
Yeah. Because you're moving, mm-hmm. and then you're moving the stool through the intestines, and farting is helping push it all through.
Sure. So I get that. I mean, theoretically, taking a walk after dinner is good for you.
I didn't know it was because of the farting.
Why not fart while I'm walking? That's fine. Yeah. I'm going to anyway, and now it's better for my health. So is this like, you know, aging more gracefully, does that like give me better skin tone? Like, what does this do for me?
Do we not need like Botox and facelifts if we fart a bunch?
Well, here you go.
What are the advantages I get?
It can stimulate the bowels. It can starve off diabetes.
Okay.
Starve diabetes. Okay. Feed a fart, starve diabetes. That's what my grandma always said.
It could reduce your risk of cancer. That's what
you got. All right.
Okay. Less cancer risk.
We got a lot of like, it might do some of these things.
Yeah. Or this guy is just a freak for farts.
Yeah. He loves farting, like, and he's like, I wrote a paper on it, everybody.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's good for you. Martin Luther was a farter.
He had some gastrointestinal issues, especially later in life.
And
that's
he liked
true.
To talk about it.
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
Fart out the devil.
Yeah. So he wasn't doing it for health. It was for spiritual reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can get behind that too, right? Whatever your motivation is to
get
take
in
a
front
walk.
Of it. Get in front of it.
No, you want to get you don't want to get behind it. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Or whatever upwind is.
Yeah. Get upwind of the
of the problem.
Now, I mean, back to Martin Luther.
A spiritual fart retreat.
No, yeah. Oh. Have you gone through this in seminary? Do farts keep away the devil?
Yeah, you know, we didn't do a scientific study, but I think it's as likely to keep away the devil as it is to keep away cancer. So I'm comfortable making that assertion.
Or potential mates.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, this is an exercise you could do with your partner. So.
That's right.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, as long as you're walking in the same direction together, it's going to be fine.
That is true. Huh?
Don't walk one behind the other.
Right. And if you're walking quickly as well, to get away from it, get ahead of the...
How slow are you walking that your farts are keeping up with you?
Wow. How slow are you walking?
Look, there are some clingers out there, okay?
There are, yeah. Like, sometimes it's a cloud. I don't know.
Like Big Bend.
Yeah. Just, like, follows you.
Dust cloud everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, if you're thinking, hey, I want to stimulate my bowels.
I do.
Start stave off diabetes and potentially reduce my risk of cancer.
Yeah.
Fart walk.
You all want to take a break and go for a quick fart walk together?
Yeah, you guys just ate, so.
I did.
I'm doing some movement
here, you know. Like.
Yeah, do I have to be walking or can I just be like shifting in my seat?
Can we open the door?
In our small confined space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is definitely an outdoor activity. This is not on the treadmill. So, you know, like.
No indoor fart walks.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
All right. There you go. Let's get to our main topic. Why women are leaving the church.
Fart walks.
It's a mystery, isn't
Farting.
It?
Farting. Yes. Too much.
I might be leaving the church right now.
Is it too much or too little farting? It's hard to say.
bunch of dudes are telling me the spiritual value of their farts.
Right,
I'm out of here.
Right.
This is from Emily Brown from her friends at Relevant. Why young women are leaving the church more than ever.
Why not Emily Harvard? Brown's University.
Ivy League jokes.
I would have gotten more poop jokes.
Yeah, well, I was trying to elevate the podcast. All right, Pat.
That's your first mistake. People know what people are here, they know what they're getting.
That's
right?
Fair. Yeah, that's hard to argue with. I'm sorry, listeners.
What if this is somebody's first time listening?
Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast. They stopped. Already.
Lost them.
We are glad you are here. Come for the fart jokes, yes. Stay for the poop reference.
That's like a fart, they left in the wind. Okay. Dissipated quickly.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Emily Byrne.
All right. Have you seen this? Young women leaving the church more than ever.
I don't know that I have any statistical evidence to support this one way or the other. But right. Sure.
So we're looking at Gen Z.
Okay.
None of us are Gen Z.
No.
No.
I'm a
millennials.
Missed it by that much.
Gen Xer.
Not really. Firmly millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're what's wrong with the world. Or the boomers. Where my generation is not the problem.
Yeah, nobody's mad.
I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because Gen X was just feral out in the wilderness.
That is true. Yeah.
Raising yourself on TV.
That's yes. Right. At home at 6 by myself, watching Wheel of Fortune, watching
TV
The Price is Right, eating cereal.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. So Gen Z, the trend is for women, they're going down. And for
their attendance is going down. Okay.
Their attendance in church. There's are 39% of Gen Z women now identify as religiously unaffiliated.
Okay.
Compared to 31% of Gen Z men.
So, yeah, the portion that's seeming religious unaffiliated is going up, and their attendance is going down.
That is correct.
Got it. Inverse relationships there.
And young Gen Z men, it is
also going down.
It is. More of them are becoming more religious.
Oh, okay. So Gen Z men jumping in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Gen Z women are jumping out.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, have you hung out with Gen Z men? I'd get out of there too.
They're doing a lot of fart walks. But they're not doing it for the the health
for
reasons.
The heart to help.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gen Z. We love you.
All right, so
we tolerate you.
Yeah.
So as of 2024, 30% of men versus 27% of women attending a religious service weekly.
That was 32%? 32 or 37?
Yeah.
32%?
30% of men.
30%.
27% of men. Of women.
Okay, yeah. So a small spread there, but.
Yeah,
yeah, but it used to be significantly higher.
Yeah.
Statistically.
Yeah.
Okay. So traditionally, you know. At least in America for, I don't know when it started, but for at least 20, 30 years, women were kind of the more likely attendees at a church service.
Yeah, even longer than that. Probably tracing it back to the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More women involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would just kind of be the get. And now, so Gen Z, it's flipping.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. One of the great ironies is that women were always the ones who were more present and more involved, but were often kept out of leadership.
Isn't that something?
It is something.
Yeah. Still happening.
Sure.
Like, that's not, I think a lot of times I forget because we are in like a subset of a denomination that tends to be very inclusive and more progressive.
Where we have a female pastor on our staff.
Where we have a
female
pastor and you know, it is an option to be in leadership here. Mm-hmm. And many places it is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she does pull some stats. So 2000 to 2015, women attended at higher rates, and 2000, I think, is as far back as we go. Mm-hmm. 2016 to 2021, about the same, and then over the last 3 years, women are going down, men are coming up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
All right, so there's two things going on here.
Yeah.
One, women going down, two, men going up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're connected.
Okay.
So let's get into it. Why are women going down? Why do we think? And I can get into what Emily Brown thinks here in a second. What's your gut reaction?
Mm. Well, I mean, as a not woman.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm a girl.
I would like to defer to Elise's observations.
Wow, that doesn't mean I should have to carry this whole thing.
I just felt like I shouldn't go first. I don't need you to carry. Yeah.
Okay. I think that there's more than one thing going on here. I think that this is a probably fairly nuanced topic. If I had to point at a few things that jump to mind for me when I think about this, right, I would say there's certain branches of Christianity are really digging into like right-wing manosphere type teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And it has always leaned into more like, quotes, biblical manhood and the Promise Keepers Conference type theology, right? Sure. But I think is doubling down on that in recent years as a response to what they perceive as like a feminist agenda, right?
Sure.
So I think there's that. I think, you know, as a woman, I'm not going to speak for all women, but, you know, as a woman, it can be very off-putting to find yourself in a community that leans into that, where you're like, well, there's no, that is in direct opposition to like my dignity and worthiness in this space, right? So there, I think there's that. It might even be the big one. I think there's also like increased criticism of how the church has taken up cultural space, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we have maybe more access to varied perspectives and arguments about that, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit more emphasis on deconstructing now. It's a little bit easier to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to kind of go off on a wild hair by yourself to find that material or start down that process.
Yeah.
So I think it's maybe a combination of those things.
Yeah.
I think those are good insights.
Yeah. I think it's definitely more socially acceptable to go down the deconstructionist path now, particularly as a single woman, than it would have been once upon a time. I think there's also far more opportunities for single women to be engaged in community outside of a church.
Mm-hmm. And
whereas once upon a time, the church was the center of community.
Right.
And then, yeah, I think, you know, to your point, Elise, the church's response to particularly feminist relevant issues in the last 5 years, right? We look at the Me Too movement and the Church Too movement and the way we handled that, the church's response to issues around abortion rights and the Roe v. Wade case, and then the, what was it, Dobbs case that came more recently, right? All of these things, I think, affect women very directly.
Mm-hmm.
And the church's response has not always been great and not always been clear. And I think, you know, to echo what you were saying, not always created space for the humanity and dignity of women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Whether we agree with any, all of them are complicated, right? I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong answer, but the church has often not lifted up the dignity and humanity of women as opposed to this is the stance.
Right. Right?
I think that has,
I think in the, you know, secular culture, women.
Also the sexual culture. Right?
Sure, sure.
They go hand in hand.
But over the last, I don't know, X number of years, you know, a shifting of gender roles has taken place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so now women aren't just relegated. If you're entering the workforce, your job is teacher or nurse.
Yeah. Right.
Like, those are the career paths.
Those are great jobs.
Yeah, those are awesome jobs.
Right.
But you have more options available now. CEO, doctor, you know, like, those are now perfectly valid career paths for women. So, like, as, like, in the secular world, there's, like, women could be anything. And then in the traditional church world, you cannot.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, that is a much different, you know, to enter into a space where, like, out there, I'm a boss of men.
Mm-hmm.
In here, I could not be an elder.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, I think, like, that is definitely going to be some shift of, like, I don't fully get or understand that. And that, you know, means I'm not really fully interested in being in a place where women can't be whatever they want to be in a traditional church space.
Yeah. I think that there's also, like, the church is really prone to just accept, like, the easy answers for women in scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, Paul says that you should be silent in the church, so therefore you can't. You know, it's like we really land on these, like, well, this is just the way it is, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul said it. What do you want to do about it?
What do you want us to do, you know? But, like, actively pursues like nuance for male believers, right? And so, like, there's this duality there that I think is very frustrating.
Sure.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
Yeah. Understandably so. Like, on top of just, like, big issues of, like, you know, sexism, or, you know, how are we approaching more like cultural or legal issues, that kind of thing. There's just that duality at the core as well that I think is troubling.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, so I think that's and she ended up as that, you know, that, okay. Shifting gender roles, number one. She'll also say purity culture. This is kind of somewhat of a response to some things that were taught to especially women in a purity culture fad in the 90s have like left lasting impacts.
Yeah.
You know, of like your holiness is now tied to modesty and abstinence, and that's it. You know, like, and almost exclusively tied to those two things. And now that women have gotten older and in this deconstruction phase, they're looking back and being like, wow, what a poop show, a fart show that was.
What a fart walk.
What a fart walk that ended up being.
No, because a fart walk is healthy for you. We can't use that in the
potentially. Potentially.
Yeah.
Am I being
according
good
for to you? Dr. Toots.
I'd go to Dr. Toots.
He's got to be a gastroenterologist at that point, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I follow this one lady on Instagram who basically left like an abusive culty church, like, or something like that, and then now people send them stories about like what they learned in youth group and things like that, and it's like horrific, you know, all these awful, awful things about creepy youth pastors and things that they were taught about like purity culture and girls as young as like 9 being told like they're making men stumble, and you're like, I'm 9 years old, right? Like I'm a child, right. And like obviously that combined with a shifting sexual and social structures in the sexual world is going to take place, right? Like maybe in the 50s the culture and the church were more like aligned together, but now that we're aligned differently, women I think are going to be like, I don't like the alignment of the church. I prefer the freedom to do whatever I want career-wise and to not have my holiness tied to my hem length of my shirt, my skirt, you know, and kind of like break away from that. Any other thoughts on why, you know, women could be leaving the church?
No, I think those are all really helpful. I think, and maybe we're going to get into this, but I think the church needs to do a better job of establishing that you can do both of those things, right? That like you can have the professionalism and the freedom, and you can be in this relationship in God that really does change the reality. Like for me, and perhaps there's some bias coming out here for me as well, but for me, the only thing that has ever really made meaningful change is people pursuing it in the love of God. And that love of God has taken a lot of different shapes throughout history, but that's always been the thing that has changed the course of history. And so I don't know that women are going to get the change that they really long for and need outside of operating within the love of God. But I don't know that has to be in the church either, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think at its core, it's a theology problem, right? Which is
theology for who?
For the church.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the approach that has been taken for a long time now is broken. You know, the three of us were watching a video last night about like our foremost commentary on the New Testament is written by a genocidal maniac, right? Yeah. And it's like
Dictionary of the New Testament. But
okay. Yeah. So the dictionary, the foremost dictionary of the New Testament.
Let's you know, if we're going to reference that, you should explain it.
So it's the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament is this huge multi-volume work where it basically takes every Greek word that's used in the New Testament and defines it and tells you where it's used in the New Testament, where it's used elsewhere in Greek literature. Like, it's huge, massive work. It was compiled by a guy named Kittle, and Kittle was a theological advisor to Hitler and basically helped Hitler understand, or not, helped Hitler justify genocide in Nazi Germany using theology.
Yeah.
That's what we were referencing. Yeah.
So, you know, not many of us outside of who are not writing sermons are really, you know, digging into those works, right? But I do think that it bears sort of looking at where the things that we have rested on for generations, right?
Absolutely.
And just said, well, it's just the way it is. Like, where does that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, and if it does hold water. If it holds up, then it should hold up to some scrutiny, right? So, yeah. Like, I don't understand the kind of the fear of, like, well, let's dig deep here and see what we come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that's been going around recently is reclaiming the fact that the best biblical and historical scholarship reveals that there were female pastors in the early church, right? In the first, you know, in the 100s to 200s. And that it was the Council of Nicaea that kind of did away with that, which would be mid 300s, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about before with Constantine. And so it was not, or the modern era of, you know, allowing women pastors is not like giving into wokeness or whatever. Getting rid of women pastors was giving into patriarchy is kind of the claim, right, that went along there. And so, and I think that almost always, you know, right, that's tied into political power outside of the church. And again, I'm a big fan of pointing out the ways in which political power has destroyed the church through history. And I think there's just one more piece of evidence of that.
Sure. Yeah. Lastly, you know, that she kind of gives here as a reason.
Mm.
And that's the dating pool.
The dating pool.
Sure.
No.
We don't like all those fart walkers in the church where that's not.
Well, I mean, historically, like, church was a good place to meet a mate. You know, like, that was a great, like, shared values.
Yeah. Church camp, also great. Yeah. Church camp, church youth group. Yeah.
Yeah.
These days, it's like the odds are good, but the goods are odd. Like,
yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, one, they're not really seeing that, young women are not seeing the church as a place to meet, you know, a potential partner.
I think that's reasonable.
And two, the partners that could be there may not share their values culturally, spiritually, and, you know, it doesn't necessarily guarantee a healthy relationship just because they're a church boy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I
think that's the big one. Like, just because they're a church boy, that doesn't mean this is going to work.
Yeah.
I think they're just seeing more and more evidence that it's just not a guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, bad is equal odds anywhere else, maybe, you know, like, and so, like, and I think that this is, you know, we look at 2021 is when they start seeing this trail off. That's also the rise of not just Me Too, but Church Too.
You know, like, post-COVID and all, like, that.
I think, you know, it's worth mentioning that we've also, at no point in history that I'm aware of, have we ever looked for more in a partner, right? Like, we're not just marrying for survival or physical safety or financial safety anymore. We're, you know,
you can choose. Yeah.
Right. You can choose for one thing, and you want, you know, your best friend and a financial partner and, you know, somebody who splits the load with you equally and all that, all wrapped up in one person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big ask, right? Like, so it's.
And culturally, we're not saying, like, and you have to find that person by the time you're 22.
Right,
like,
because your ovaries shrivel up. No.
You can say, like, take as long as you want. Yeah.
You've got until 32.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that is, like, historically, churches were never good at capturing the attention of single people.
Mm.
Right? They're, like, even, you know, you got married earlier, so maybe there was less time when you were single, right?
Yeah.
But historically, churches have always kind of said, like, well, when they have kids, they'll come back, right? And so we've kind of, at least mainline Protestant, maybe is how I should phrase that, more than just churches in general, right? And so as women are waiting longer and longer to have relationships and may choose to or not to have kids, right? I think that's another factor that's saying, like, you know, maybe if I'd had kids, I would have gone back, but I don't.
Right.
And I'm finding this community elsewhere. And
yeah.
And so the church has not shifted its mentality and how we're addressing and approaching that group that I think really would benefit from genuine community that I think churches can offer.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have to get past all the stuff that we've done wrong for the last 1,500 years, give or take. Not 2,000, because the first couple were good.
We're
right?
good.
We
did all right. Little blip at the beginning.
We did all right early on. Yeah.
Countercultural. Yeah.
All right. So let's flip gears here. So as women are decreasing, young men are increasing.
Yeah.
Why is this? What do we think?
Biblical manhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's definitely one of them.
I mean, there are a lot of church, and Lord of Life is thankfully not one of them, but there are a lot of churches that lift up, you know, you come to church to be a man, and then they highlight all the things that are like the things you're not supposed to do according to Jesus, but like there's evidence of people doing them in the Bible. And so I think that plays to our own kind of inflated sense of self. I think it plays to our history of, you know, feeling like we've been kicked aside by society, right? You know, feeling like, oh, well, we're giving everything else to women or to whoever. Mm-hmm. And so it's my, you know, I'm the one who's left behind. It's my turn to get mine. I think it plays right into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could say, like, okay, well, in the secular world, gender roles have flattened a bit, not exclusively, but they are flatter now than they ever have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And young men are being told and saying, like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Because now you no longer have an, you know, cultural, social, or relational advantage.
Yeah.
But in church you do.
Yeah.
Here yeah. is where you're still on top. You know, here is where men still are at the top of the pyramid and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I think it's easy to kind of like have a bit of an appeal to young men who are lost and confused and maybe immature, and the online voices that they're seeing of like, this is a place where you could be a man.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think a podcast about a year ago about kind of like, I think that progressives and the left politically mm-hmm. have poor messaging for yes. men.
Right.
And the right has a bad message, but good messaging.
Effective yeah. marketing.
Yeah. yeah. Like yeah. so they at least have something for them. And while the left sometimes is the future is female. Yeah. And like are like all 18-year-old boys just be like, yeah. Like, I mean, like, I just don't think that's yeah. effective. Like,
no, it's not.
Like, so I think that this is part of it.
Yeah. yeah. It makes me, it's so disappointing though, because like, I feel like the church should be the one leading the charge to yes. like flatten that gender role, you know, like yeah. curve. Like we should be the first ones out there trying to push for equality, right? Because women are not some niche in the human race. They're half of it, you know? But to just rest on, well, not really. It's more about us. We should be in charge. It's like, it's for that to be the last bastion of like mm-hmm. red pill manhood is so disappointing. Like, and not the first place where it was rooted out.
Is that a Matrix reference?
Kind of.
Red pill. Okay. Well, yeah, it, like yeah. red pill manhood is a thing.
It's I just
like
I didn't.
It is. It is
like Joe
reference.
Rogan.
It's basically like waking up to like oh, you know. Yeah. To yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is like going on to like Twitter or Instagram or oof. TikTok or something, and I'm not really. I don't really like
dark
those
world.
But yeah. like yeah, seeing like images of like a 1950s ish. Family and be like, this is what was taken from you
yeah.
geared yep. towards like young yeah. men. And so like, yeah, like, I mean, at least you mentioned like now in our search for a partner, women can be as selective as they ever could have been
mm-hmm.
in some ways for men. That's like, well, they're not choosing me because mm-hmm. they're not having to be actually worth selecting.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like in 50 years ago, you didn't have to be your best friend. You didn't have to be emotionally yeah. mature.
Right.
You didn't have to be financially stable. You right. had to be available.
Right.
And like and like provide a level and sense of security.
Right.
Yeah.
And now women are saying like, I can do that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I need these things. And for young men, they're like, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
those things are not necessarily easy. So in some ways, I'd rather go back to a world where I didn't have to be emotionally mature and available.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one who decided how money was spent for the family. You know,
I'm like, the decider.
You know, and that's just no longer the case.
Right.
You know, and so like, you know, wanting to go back, we're like, I had all the privileges and none of the negatives.
Right.
Yeah.
And not to say like, look, maybe you know, maybe if you talk to somebody who's like, they had a laundry list of problems in the 50s. If you were
I'm
a
sure
man,
they did,
I'm
yeah.
sure you did.
Yeah.
Like, but. I think we're looking through some rose-colored glasses,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that we have a sense of the world has been taken from you, young men. Come to church and reclaim it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether they say that or not, I think that that is the messaging.
Yeah, which is really, I mean, at least this, I think, echoes back to your point, right? That's a reversal of what Jesus intended for the Jesus movement to be about from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that Jesus intended, like, our version of feminism. Like, I don't know that that's what Jesus intended either,
yeah.
but Jesus did intend a community in which all people were seen as equal and mm-hmm. all people were lifted up as being loved by and a part of this community and loved by God in this community. And when we went back to these divisions, we really created this separation to say like, oh, well, some of us are, even though Paul wrote in the first century, right? You know, there's neither slave nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, like all are one in Christ. Like,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that that means that we're all the same, but it means that in the eyes of Christ, in the eyes of the church, we're all on the same playing field. And we might have calls to particular types of ministry, right? We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be apostles or prophets or teachers. Paul does that too, right? So we have those individual callings, but we are all one in the eyes of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of lost that, and we've not done a good job of claiming that in a way that messages well or that allows space for grief for what people are losing, right? I mean, because mm-hmm. there is something that There is something that young men are losing that they used to have. And I think it's appropriate that that's lost, yeah. but it is being lost, right? And that that grief should be acknowledged. And we haven't done a good job of that either.
Yeah.
We've kind of said, like, no, don't feel that, because we need to lift up, which we do need to lift up this other thing. But also, how do we make space for that, right?
Yeah.
Your daughter's going to her first funeral today.
Yeah.
Right? In this, in the process of a funeral, we both mourn this person's death and we celebrate that we trust that there is a new thing that God is doing in this space, yeah. right? We hold both of those things in tension. And in this space, we've not done a good job of holding both of those things in tension.
Yeah. Yeah. Neither side wants to do both. You know,
no.
like,
yeah.
and I think that's the
and change. It's the women's fault. They should want to do both. yeah. I'm sorry. That was right. not the right answer. That's, yeah. yes.
Just more emotional labor.
yeah.
Listeners know I'm joking with that, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
yes, of course, of course, of course. We all know that is a joke.
All right.
Yeah.
Jokes
Don't
are
Don't worry, I'll talk to him later.
Jokes are best when you have to end with that yeah. was a joke.
yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a problem.
If yes.
we knew that church attendance is on the decline the younger you get, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that generationally it's going down and down and down. Now the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas of the world, that's the new one, right?
Yeah.
There is some hope there and how they see the world, how they approach things, and even how they approach like traditional church cultural things. They are less sexually active. They are, you know, are more likely to volunteer. And these mm-hmm. things are great, you know, mm-hmm. like, but if they cannot find a space in a healthy church, they're going to find that space
yes.
somewhere else. They're going to find their communities, and
yeah.
they're going to find their places to volunteer. They're going to find their places to get a level of spiritual fulfillment.
Yeah.
It just won't be with us.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'll be with, for men, it might be with Joe Rogan and Andrew Tate. And for women, it might be through, I don't know, what do you think young women would find spiritual fulfillment in?
Yoga retreats.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the first one that comes to
sure.
mind. I don't
yeah.
know. Stretching.
I heard yogurt retreats.
Yogurt.
I was like, a yogurt
oh,
retreat.
Yogurt oh. retreat. Like yeah. frozen yogurt?
I mean, whatever kind of yogurt you want. It's your
like
retreat.
Go on that one.
Just go all the way ice cream.
Right.
Why are we doing that ourselves?
Frozen yogurt is sometimes just as good.
It's not. I mean, it's
Patrick
it
coming
is
in with a hot take.
Good. It's not as good as ice cream.
Well, somehow, ever. It is more socially acceptable to put all these toppings on your frozen yogurt.
that
than
is
on your ice cream.
That is true. Like, do you want to go to a frozen yogurt plate and cover it in chocolate chips?
Right.
Yep.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
That's probably healthy because it's yogurt.
Right. Yeah. Of course, I'm getting my protein.
Yeah.
It's good for me.
Probiotics
yes.
for that fart walk later. No, I think women are going to find, you know, that sense of fulfillment and spirituality and
yeah.
in some yoga, some, you know, some new age spirituality and through romantasy books, you know, like that's what they're going to get.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for. And,
yeah.
and
what I think is worth remembering, right? You mentioned the decline of church attendance in general, right?
Mm.
That we don't do any of this out of a fear of what the future of the church holds, right? Like God's body on earth, the body of Christ, is always going to exist.
Mm.
The church, as we understand it as an institution and as a practice, as we've come to know it over the last 2,000 years, may or may not, right?
Yeah.
The church now is very different than the church 500 years ago in Martin Luther's day, and is very different than the church 500 years before that, and right?
Yeah.
So the church has always been shifting and molding, not to fit the culture, but to adapt to the needs of culture and to say, how do we continue to proclaim a relevant message in the face of a culture that has shifted around us? And that is the message that we, not even as the church universal, but we as individual followers of Jesus need to continue to wrestle with, is how do we proclaim this message in a way that's meaningful to the culture now? Because the message still matters, right?
Yeah.
The message matters to young men and to young women. And just like you said, Patrick, they're going to find community one way or another, but this is the community that we think really can change their lives and change the world. And how do we proclaim that message in a way that connects to them?
Yeah. Right.
Did we solve it?
No, but, you know.
Do you feel empowered, Elise?
Am I supposed to?
I don't know. Do you?
No.
I feel like we missed. I feel like it's a swing and a miss.
Yeah. I think it's okay to say, like, this is exactly what's happening. And
yeah.
we just need to,
yep.
how do we adapt and address it?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact answers, but at least we should at least, you know,
identify
yep. the problem first.
Yep. Yeah. First step to solving any problem is to identify that there is one.
Is to fart.
Mm-hmm.
on a walk.
Yeah, specifically while walking.
Because it'll stave off diabetes and cancer.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. And the devil.
Yeah. Who knew Varda could do so many right. things?
Yeah. There's win, our win, spiritual win. Fulfillment.
That's right.
Did you say wind, wind, win?
I said win, win, win. Oh, fart jokes. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can send us your favorite farts at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Are they recording them?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Oh, didn't we do a news story once about someone who got taken to court because they had sent recordings of their farts to their ex-boyfriend?
That's true. At least she was staying healthy, though.
That's right. Yeah. She didn't have diabetes. Has a restraining order, but doesn't have diabetes. You can find all of our fart joke podcasts at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.